fighting for America.
Please join me now in showing appreciation for their work, their legacy, and their friendship. That's sufficient. I don't want you to get more applause than I got.
Fighting for Idaho.
As someone growing up in the Middle East, you know that if you say the smallest thing against Muhammad, or if you say, I don't believe in this, you will be killed.
Fighting for you.
My wife delivered twins, so it's just been hectic.
Are you changing the diapers yet?
Oh, yeah, I've done that from day one. No big deal.
All right.
Wow. That's what real men do, Kevin.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. K. Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, if you had to pick between books and teachers' salaries, we'll get your votes on that. By the way, at 580KIDO.com, right now, no new taxes to pave the roads here in Idaho is winning just barely. We'd love your thoughts at our opinion poll, 580KIDO.com. Should your tax dollars be raised, gas taxes, that is, to pay for the roads in Idaho like the legislature will make a run at? 580KIDO.com. Of course, we are always an advocate for schools, for education, as Lou Dobbs has told us. You know, that's the great liberator in our society today, education. And, you know, every spring, every fall, we go to schools and hear from the kids, hear from the teachers and the parents and the advocates. Just our way of promoting what is good and wholesome here in Idaho. Now, is the state perfect? No. We've got people saying that we're, you know, last in education, last here, last that. But one thing I've learned in my time each and every morning with you is that you do care about education. Joining us now to talk about education is the president of National School Choice Week, is Andrew Campanella. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks so much for having me.
So we, you know, why? Well, it's an easy question to answer. It's so easy I shouldn't even ask it, that there's so much, everybody has so many answers about education, yet we still have challenges. It seems when we try to fix things through the federal government, we only make the situation worse. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think that parents are the best decision makers for their children's education, and that most decisions about education in the K-12 level can best be made by parents, by localities, and by states. I think the federal government can play a role in education, and it does, but sometimes the federal government is a bit heavy-handed.
Yeah, it just seems, though, that when the feds come in, whether it's No Child Left Behind or Common Core or anything else, it seems to kind of separate the parents and the local folks from making their decisions that impact their children.
Yeah, what we need to do is trust parents and recognize that parents know their children best. And it's really difficult given the diversity in our country geographically and in terms of, you know, what priorities individual parents have for their kids, to sort of set a national curriculum. Now, nobody has necessarily suggested doing that, but the more federal intervention there is, the less power that parents have over their own children's education. And during National School Choice Week, we talk not so much about the federal versus local issues, but really about what we can do as a country to empower parents to choose the best schools for their kids, whether that's a traditional district school, a charter school, a magnet school, an online academy, a private school, or homeschool their children.
Sure, and we have a lot of those folks listening here with us in the morning. However, you know, why is there such a level of frustration with schools in America today, Andrew?
You know, I think that there is frustration because, in some cases, because parents want more options and they want to be heard. And parents are always told again and again by so-called experts that, you know, there's not enough parental involvement and parents aren't involved enough, but yet when they try to get involved, they're almost dissuaded from doing so or having their opinion heard. The other thing I would say is that the discussion about education in this country is often filled with about a billion acronyms and policies that even the legislators talking about them don't fully understand. So that's why I like to talk about school choice, because it's understandable. Parents, if they're not happy with the school that their child is going to now, should be able to pick another school near them, away from them, shouldn't matter. They should be able to make that choice. And state lawmakers and elected officials should make more choices available to families and break down barriers to opportunity.
Some critics in the education community would say that's going to hurt the brick and mortar schools, the traditional schools, because they're the ones that get everybody else. You've had people that have been critical of, charter schools. We've had some growth here with that here in the state of Idaho and in other states, and homeschooling. Parents, you know, for better or worse, want to take care of their kids. Maybe they don't want to send them to a private school. Maybe there's a budgeting issue, so they homeschool, which is an incredible sacrifice. But, you know, if there is more choice, what do you say to the argument from, for lack of a better term, the education establishment, that that hurts the traditional schools, the brick and mortar that have been, you know, the schools that we grew up in?
Yeah, and I went to public school my whole life. My mom's a public school teacher, and I'll just be honest and say I think it'll help public schools, because a lot of families will still choose public schools for their kids. You know, there are so many options in the public sector. When you look at Idaho, for example, you have traditional public schools, open enrollment, where parents can choose in different districts if they want to. There are great public charter schools throughout the state, magnet schools focusing on things like math, science, technology, online academies. They're also in the public sector. So the majority of choices that parents can make are still in the public sector. And the idea that everybody would leave traditional public schools if there were more choices is just inaccurate. You know, I have more confidence in our public school systems than apparently these folks who don't want parents to have other options. So, you know, I think that it'll also increase the quality of all schools, and I think that's what we need. We need great quality choices for all families.
And yet you have people that have been looking at the test results here in Idaho, and they're not happy. I think it was one education establishment said that we were 46th in the country when it comes to test scores. Now, Andrew, you and I both know it depends on the test, depends on the score. You can make statistics go one way or the other, but you know, how can school choice really make a difference as far as benefiting kids so we get higher test scores statewide? Can it?
You know, what we need to look at, too, is not just the individual test scores, but graduation rates and making sure that kids are graduating and are prepared for real life. And we know from statistics and from research that when children go to schools that better meet their needs, they do perform better. And it just makes common sense, because every child is unique and every child is different. School that might work for a child in your house might not work for the kid next door. So when we start matching up students with schools that work for them and do it on a more personalized, individualized basis, kids are more inspired to learn and they perform better. In addition, parents are happier. The schools are happier because they're working with students who are excited to be there. And while nothing is perfect, it is a much better way of going about educating so many million kids in this country.
580KIDO, as we continue on talking about National School Choice Week. So Idaho has a lot of choices. How do we rank as far as nationally when it comes to school choice?
I think Idaho would rank pretty well. I think that the state is definitely on the right track. It's obvious that there is support for school choice. There's going to be a big rally in Boise on January 27th at the state capitol. And people are going to be talking about school choice and why it's benefiting Idaho families. Could the state do more? Absolutely. States can always do more when it comes to providing options for families, but Idaho is on the right track.
Indeed. What would you say, though, to parents that are frustrated with the results they're getting?
They should say they should contact their elected officials. They should have their voices heard. You know, individual voices do make a difference, and especially when lots of them contact people. So let elected officials and legislators know whatever choice you want, let them know about it, because, you know, the more pressure folks can bring to bear on those in power, the more change we can have to benefit kids and their parents.
And finally, how has the debate over school choice changed?
You know, I think it's changed because it's no longer pitting students. No longer pitting traditional public schools against other types of schools. And this is not about elevating one type of school over another. It's really about saying, okay, we need to focus on individual children and recognize that specific schools might be better for one child than they are for another. So let's give parents the opportunity to do that. So I think the debate from the angle of folks who support school choice has been to recognize, you know, it's not beneficial to say, okay, one type of choice is better than all the rest, but instead saying, let's really, truly leave this up to parents.
Well, Andrew, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate your time.
All right. Andrew Campanella, president of the National School Choice Week, which brings me to our topic here, where we'd love to hear from you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And that's, well, that's what our folks in Boise are trying to figure out, how to fund education. The governor talked about this.
In addition, I'm calling for another $20 million in discretionary operating funds for local schools in fiscal year 2016.
Now, the governor would like the teachers to get a raise. And if you look at any of the actually five Facebook feeds that I provide you each and every morning at 580KIDO, there's a question on there. And it, and I will tell you, I always give proper attribution. It comes from our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. And it comes down to textbooks. It comes down to school supplies. And whether or not you would want the money, and the governor saying that teachers should make $40,000 a year instead of $31,000 a year, I believe, if I understand it correctly, that money would be given to teacher raises. Now, we know that the teachers don't do it for the money. We know that it's a challenge. We know they're under siege just based on what we heard last week with Idaho being ranked 46th in education again. We know that State School Superintendent Ibarra will, in fact, have her hands full. But when you take a look at school supplies, books, and there are people, and look, we were in the Boise schools. I've had parents contact me about this concerning there are no textbooks. You heard us when we were in some middle schools where if you want to take a textbook home, you have to go to the library to check it out. Remember, like in second grade or ninth grade? And now you have some people saying, look, we have digital devices. The kids don't need that. Well, look, not everybody can afford a tablet or an iPad or something like that. Not everybody can go to a school that supplies everything. But if, in fact, we are looking at spending more money, as the governor has advocated.
In addition, I'm calling for another $20 million in discretionary operating funds for local schools in fiscal year 2016.
In addition to that, he wants a tax cut, which I don't know how he's going to swing.
By now, most of you know that I would like to see further reductions in the marginal tax rates for Idaho individual and corporate income tax to below 7% from their current 7.4%.
Right. So more money for education, less money for the coffers. I don't know how he's going to do that, but are you looking for salaries or are you looking for textbooks? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to the phones. We go to Robert in Nampa with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
So I guess my question is how can we use our money more efficiently instead of asking for more money? Example, textbooks in Chalice for a fifth-grade math class versus Caldwell versus Nampa versus Middleton, I can guarantee you none of those textbooks are the same. How about we get together as an entire state and we decide on the textbook that we want to buy and buy in bulk and get a better price?
Well, you've hit the nail right on the head, number one. And number two, it's the big question that no one will ever have enough guts to take on, and that's district consolidation.
Well, that and also buildings as well. Why don't we have a medium, a small, and a large school that we have already plans, architecture, and everything for, and that's what we built. The mechanicals are the same. The electrical is the same. The supplies for that building are the same. And that way we can trade around and save money that way as well.
You should be in education.
Well, I don't want to be in education. I just want somebody that has business sense to run the education. Let the educators take care of the education part and let the businessman take care of the business part of it. Because I guarantee you none of those teachers and educators and administrators right now went to business school to be a business administrator. They went there to be educators.
Robert, thank you for the call.
All right, bye.
All right, we continue on. We go to Mike in Meridian with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Kevin. Hey, your last caller hit something really critical, and that's consolidation of the school districts. We have, what, six districts here in the Boise area?
Sounds good. Yeah.
Why do we have to pay an administrator for each one of those? I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Several administrators, actually, yeah.
So, and then on to the textbook topic. Back when the Luna laws were going to take effect, they had a contract with electronic books. Wow, let's see, it's saved. I mean, that right there saved them so much money with electronic books, because the students students didn't need to take books home. They checked them out by getting into a computer at home. So there's a big savings to be had by going electronic. I just finished my bachelor's degree with primarily electronic books. Okay, there's absolutely no need to be printing books that go out of date within a year of them being printed and keep paying for that. If you do the electronic version, they're constantly updated.
Unlike everything else, you still have to pay for those.
You do, but it's about half the cost of textbooks.
What about my argument, though, Mike, that not everybody has a computer at home?
There's libraries that have computers. There's other things you can do. You can out in the CUNA school district where my kids go to school, they all have their Chromebooks there at school. Now, they're not allowed to bring them home, but they could stay after school and do homework. On the teacher's pay, I was unemployed over the summer. I can't tell you how many jobs you start reading, and then you get down to that final line of what the pay is on it, and the pay is $15, $16 an hour, and they want a master's degree. Well, these teachers are graduating college with a bachelor's degree. Why would we be paying a new teacher with a bachelor's more than what other people are getting with masters? Let's look at it that way.
Well, but you got the governor saying he wants to give them raises.
I don't mind giving teachers raises, and that's not the argument. The argument that I've got is based on what's going on in our local economy. If people are wanting master's degrees and want to pay you $15 to $16 an hour, then something's got to be adjusted there if you've only got a bachelor's degree.
Good point, Mike. Thank you for the call. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Mike makes some good points. I'm wondering, though, in the Boise district, and we have a lot of people that come from other countries that are working hard and all that. That's just the way it is. Do they have the computers needed to do books electronically? And when it comes to, you know, school funding, there's a little controversy considering, you know, the school contract with the internet provider. Does that mean that we would trust one person to do, you know, to be the online book provider? I mean, it comes down to, do we have faith in our public officials to do the right thing considering the internet contract boondoggle there and everything else? If you're just waking up, 580-5436, the governor wants to give more money to education. I don't know where he's going to get that considering he wants a tax cut that he proposed in the state of the state. Number one, everybody wants a tax cut. Number two, though, you take a look at school supplies. You take a look at whether or not kids in Boise, Meridian, Nampa have a textbook to take home. Is that too much to ask? I'd like to hear from you next. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
580 KIDO and MCA Nashville want to send you to the Daytona 500. Details soon on 580 KIDO.
My total general fund budget request for the coming year represents a 5.2% increase, but my proposal for public schools calls for a 7.4% more funding.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Looking at budgetary money, are you down with paying teachers or buying textbooks? Why does it have to be both? And take a look at what the governor said. Is he asking too much when he wants to fix the roads and very adroitly, which means smart, very smartly says, hey, I tried that the last time. You're going to have to figure it out, legislature. You guys are going to have to do it. Senators, representatives, not me. That's number one. Number two, he wants a tax cut. And it's funny, on the upper income, and Sean Hannity's saying, the rich pay their share. Well, that's great if you're Sean, but for the rest of us, So we've got a tax cut for the upper end earners, and then he wants more money for education. Now, I call that a balancing act. Linda and Emmett, you're on with Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Hi, I was just going to say that everybody that keeps talking about e-books or electronic tablets and all that, people that can't afford internet, that's, you know, impractical. And it's also not feasible for a lot of people to take their kids to a library in a rural area. By the time the kids get home from school and they start, you know, doing their other things, the library will close or they can't get to it. It's just not practical. So they do need textbooks.
Well, and that's what I don't get. I mean, look, we're not saying the teachers don't need money either, but I don't know how he's going to do that. That's why he was elected for a third term. But a tax cut here, a tax increase there, more money for education. But, you know, you go to these schools and they're nice people and they do their very best to kind of get you off the topic. But you're telling me this kid's got to go to the library to check out a textbook?
Yeah, see, that would not work. When my kids were home, I've had kids in all three schools, primary, middle school, and high school. And I wouldn't have been able to take my kids to the library after school. I mean, there's other chores. There's feeding the animals. There's, you know, doing the other things. And I'm still of the opinion that you don't sign homework. Homework is something you didn't get done in school either. Because people go to work and they don't bring home their work to do at home afterwards either. I figure it's the same for kids, and kids still need to play. So, but that's just my opinion.
Hey,
so have a good day.
Adults still need to play. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 731, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And welcome to Wednesdays. Here's the week flying by. That's easy for you to say, Millie. All you do is work 4 hours in. Half the time, I don't even think they call it work. Anyway, coming up, some of the most ridiculous items going on. Are you ready for a third Mitt Romney run? I know a lot of people here love the Mitt Romney. Are you ready for another run at the White House? And look, for those of you that support Mitt Romney, think Mitt Romney is great, is a wonderful person, I have to ask you this question. Any Romney supporter? Now, this is not intended to attack Mitt Romney, but it's a simple question. What is the biggest criticism that people have had against Mitt Romney? That he's not consistent. That he's not consistent when it comes to making decisions. He was for Obamacare before he wasn't. He was pro-choice and now he's pro-life. Look, he's a positive guy, and if you have Netflix and you haven't seen the documentary, it's a great documentary talking about a guy that has a great sense of humor, that loves his family, and really is the folks there just don't do him justice in the press when we're talking about Mitt Romney. However, a third time and remember, good old Kay Millie said this because I love the politics, I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to run again. And now he might be running again. Look, you don't have to be Rick Santorum to say he's flip-flopping, right? So we'll talk about that coming up. You know, recently we've had Uber coming to Boise. We've had the city officials going undercover to bust the Uber drivers. Well, it's not just happening here in the Treasure Valley. It's happening all over the place. We go to Eben Brown of Fox News Radio for the very latest on another Uber controversy. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning.
So Uber, people love them, but some people want them, to vote whether or not Uber stays or goes in Florida.
Florida as a whole, but Broward County, which is Fort Lauderdale. In fact, the county commission had a public hearing on it yesterday. And there are some concerns, mostly coming from the established taxi cab industry, which is regulated by the county. The drivers and cars, there's only a certain amount of permits that are permitted to be issued for taxi drivers. So that makes a limited number of cars. There are rates that are set along with the county for the regular metered fares, plus certain pickups from airports, seaports, things like that. Uber doesn't have to or is not abiding by any of that stuff. They don't have permitted drivers. They have obviously licensed drivers, but not taxi permit holders. While they operate with a metered fare basis, their fares are significantly lower. And the taxi cab fleet owners are complaining that it's essentially cutting into their business. Those who who drive for Uber and those who enjoy Uber services also came to the meeting to say, look, you know, when we call for a taxi, sometimes the taxi doesn't show up. And when they do, the car is old. It's uncomfortable. The driver is on the cell phone, not paying attention to us. They go the wrong way. They go the long way. They run up the meter. With the Uber driver, I'm sitting in their own personal vehicle, which they go through the effort of keeping clean and in good repair. We have GPS readouts of where we're going, and I get a record of that, and so on and so forth. Taxi cab drivers came back and said, but we provide a vital service to people who can't afford Uber if they don't have a credit card or a debit card. The Uber essentially is discriminating against them. And then we had one lawmaker that said that she was upset because by not paying for taxi cab permits, Uber was therefore, the county was therefore not able to collect on Uber's business. And that they need that money to run the county, essentially. So what will happen from now is still anybody's guess. I think they resolve to wait a certain time period before deciding whether or not Uber is coming into compliance with their local ordinance, or they can come up with a new ordinance specifically for Uber, and not just Uber, but also for its competitors like Lyft and whatnot that operate in the same fashion, although Uber seems to be the biggest and therefore gets the notoriety, or whether or not they can't come to a consensus and the county should sue Uber to stop operations.
Yeah, we have the same issue here where the tax cab drivers are, you know, up against. We actually have the Boise City Police people going undercover, or government officials going undercover, to ride in these things and then issuing citations. You know, people do have a point, though. You go into a cab, and I don't know about Fort Lauderdale, but most of the places, A, the cab driver doesn't talk to you. He takes your money, and look, I'm just going to be politically incorrect. They don't speak English.
Well, I mean, that is one issue that has been constantly brought up in the debate here in Broward County. But the other problem is, you know, there are people who don't carry cash. They like to use debit cards or they like to use credit cards. With the service that a lot of the cabs have for that, it doesn't work after midnight. The satellite shuts off or so on and so forth. Or they just flat out don't have them, or they just don't work. And so they can't scan their card and tip the driver that way and be done with it. They have to have cash. Well, some people just don't carry that kind of cash, so that means they have to hit up an ATM before they even think about getting a cab. That's not always easy coming out of the baggage claim at an airport. The way Uber and these other systems work, your credit card information is saved. You're automatically billed once the ride is over. You don't have to worry about exchanging money with the driver. The driver himself is paid by Uber, as opposed to collecting a fare from you. And so it's a different business model for this type of service, and, you know, not everybody likes it.
Except the people at Uber that love it, and the people that try it out here in the West are very pleased with it. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out where you are. I know, again, with us, it's like, I don't want to say war on Uber, but they haven't received the warmest welcome, and you would take a look at the taxicab lobby. Maybe they would try and reform a few things.
Well, that had been the complaint or the assertion from the Uber drivers that were speaking yesterday. Were like, look, all we're doing is taking advantage of the fact that your customer service is not very good. Look, I think they have a point, having ridden in my fair share of taxis. But I've also rode an Uber and have had mostly good results with it. But yes, Broward County did, I think, about a couple of months ago. And again, this is Fort Lauderdale, which is a major Florida city, a major port city, did send a cease and desist letter to Uber, which they flat out, said, we're not going to abide by.
Yeah, it's a new kind of company and very profitable. People love them. I mean, they're worth billions of dollars. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out against the traditional folks.
Well, every time we move into a digital way of living and there's a digital service for hire, we have to figure out laws to come up around them. You know, often they, I don't want to say they skirt the law. I don't think that's it. But they are operating in a fashion that an older law doesn't address. I agree that there probably are concerns for the county and any type of municipal government that when they want to get have more information about safety and insurance and recourse for clients who may have been harmed in either either overcharged or whatnot, or they physical harm, or they've been in an accident or whatnot. There are things that Uber does with regard to that. You always have a record of your travel, a record of your driver. You know, Uber sends you a picture of your driver before you get picked up. So if it's not that person, you probably shouldn't get in the car.
Right.
You know, and they do carry a certain type of insurance, and the driver themselves have their own insurance for the vehicle as well. I think it's a matter more of the law having to catch up with the times as opposed to making Uber and Lyft and these other companies conform to a law that really doesn't address the way they do business.
Evan Brown, thank you, brother.
You got it.
Evan Brown joining us here. It is 7:47. Kevin Miller in the morning. Look, how many of you know what Uber is? How many of us have used Uber in other cities? And, you know, we have our great friend Brad, who, you know, Boise Taxi Company, Boise Taxi Cab, he does a great job. He's always listening. But besides Brad, and, you know, in fact, we have a lot of folks that drive the cab that listen to this program. So thank you. Thank you for not having it on the government-supported radio, by the way. Thank you for supporting free enterprise here. But, you know, how many good cab drivers are there? You know, there's another guy that owns one of the big taxi cab companies in town. I can't remember his name. He came in once, and they were going to put my face on, like, those light-up things. I can't remember whatever happened to that. That was, hey, Kevin, you talk about the taxi. We'll put your picture up so people can see it. I don't know. I mean, that's why I'm in radio, number one. But number two, you know, how many of us have had a good experience with a great cab driver? Now, maybe here in the Treasure Valley, like everything, we're spoiled. But you go to New York, you go to Philadelphia, even going to, I'm trying to think of some of the places I've been recently. Denver. Is it an enjoyable experience? So you have somebody that does it within the private sector, and government wants to shut them down. Well, you have to be licensed. Okay. You have to have insurance. Okay. You have to have our stamp of approval. Well, I've seen the people that have licenses. And again, not talking about the people that support this program, but I believe you're the exception, not the rule. So let's discuss Uber here in the Treasure Valley next. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Time for traffic.
580 KIDO and MCA Nashville want to send you to the Daytona 500. Details soon on 580 KIDO.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. You know, got a little tense yesterday in the White House concerning whether or not the president should have gone to France. Here's Jim Acosta of CNN.
Should Ambassador Hartley have notified the White House about the potential optics on Sunday? Should she have warned the White House that, you know, hey, all of these world leaders are going to be here. Where are you guys? Did she make that call?
I'm not going to get into any conversations that may have been that may have taken place between Ambassador Hartley and other members of the administration. I will say that she did what she was supposed to do. She participated in the rally, and as the most senior American representative to the nation of France, it was appropriate that she was there and she participated. And we saw comments from senior French officials that they appreciated the American representation at that march and have appreciated the kind of support that the people of France have received from this administration since the first minutes after that the first terror act in Paris was conducted. So, but again, I'm not going to get into any additional conversations that may have taken place behind the scenes.
No more quarterbacking when it comes to Ambassador Hartley's performance in all of this.
Well, like I said, she was she attended the rally and that's what she was supposed to do.
It has been reported by some that she was a campaign. A bundler, a fundraiser for the president before being dispatched to this position over in Paris. She's the best the country's got when it comes to representation in Paris.
I think there's no question that she's doing an excellent job representing the interests of the United States.
Wow, she's the best that we've got, a campaign bundler. Now that's commitment to the French. Didn't the French help us win our War of Independence? Oh, well, that was so how many centuries ago? 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Are you depressed about Obamacare? Are you thinking there are no options when it comes to medicine? And let's face it. Let's face it, indeed, my friends, when we're talking education, when we're talking finances, when we're talking medical, we feel so helpless. Well, coming up next hour, we're going to have our great friend, Senator Stephen Thane, with him. I almost called him Dr. Stephen Thane, but Senator Thane will join us. And we've got a very special guest about a forum coming up tonight. And look, if you're like a lot of people that are healthy, God bless you. But if you're dependent on medicine, if you're dependent on prescriptions, if you're going to the medical profession as far as you go in, I mean, what is a more helpless feeling? Going to the doctor or getting on a plane? At least a plane you're going to get off, but you go to the doctor. Now, there are some exceptional doctors, but you go in there, you put yourself into their hands, and then all of a sudden, not only dealing with illness, if that's not enough, then you got to deal with the high cost of getting hosed by the Affordable or the Unaffordable Care Act. Well, we've got some solutions coming up, and we'll have those for you coming up next hour here. You don't want to miss it if you're looking for an alternative to Obamacare. Let's get you to work safe. And I'm Kevin Miller, and coming up, we'll talk medicine and how to afford it. Regardless of your age, you definitely want to take a look at that. Plus, we revisit arresting 9-year-olds for stealing gum, allegedly, and what you can do to help your kid understand the meaning of school safety and strike out against school violence. Those stories and much, much more coming up with me, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. KIDO.